This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Canada, the best neighbor anyone could wish for. And Canada today, looking to big things in the 21st century. I welcome Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, a Canadian. Lord Black, also a member of parliament. Recently in Vancouver, the West Coast, to celebrate the retirement of the chairman of a very important institute, I learned from Conrad, the Fraser Institute, Peter Brown retiring. Conrad was there with other distinguished Canadians, such as Brian Mulroney, the previous prime minister, but they're all dreaming of big things. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Big things such as railways, big things such as leading the world in invention and prosperity. Is that a commonplace dream in Canada now, or has it been consigned to the 20th century that today you're into maintenance? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Well, no, I think that there is a considerable nostalgia in Canada for the era when we focused consecutively on big things. And in general, if asked, people would say, yes, let's get back to that. But it's not an issue talked about that much, but it came up at the meeting that you referred to, because what we were asked, the former Premier of British Columbia and the former Prime Minister of Canada and I were asked to, provide our suggestions for what was wrong with the country now and what we should do about it. And it was quite a distinguished group of about 500, but prominent people from all of Western Canada in different fields. And this was focused on, and it was universally approved of. Of course, the United States is such a huge country. Almost everything that happens there that has any prominence as an event passes the test of a big thing just by the scale of the country. But in Canada, it's a bit different. And because it is geographically a large country, in order to get and divided into regions quite distinctly, in order to get everybody's attention, you actually need a project that does legitimately attract the attention and fire the imagination of all the regions of the country. So you've got to think about it a little bit, but there is always something to be done. I mean, at times we had a great interest and a bit of a rivalry between different provinces in building these colossal power dams, magnificent looking ones. The famous Manicouagan 5 in Quebec is a beautiful piece of architecture in addition to an immense dam. And this was going back to the 50s and 60s. We had Churchill Falls in Newfoundland and other ones in different places. And it sounds absurd, but you always in civic matters want to inspire the people a little bit. It isn't all just proper bus shelters, daycare, and pensions. I mean, those are important things, but they're not inspiring. And you want to give the country a vision, and that's what we were talking about.
I learned from you 140 years ago. You built the Canadian Pacific Railway, which takes people from east to west easily, even over the shield, over the Continental Divide. A project.
Yeah, well, you see, they had to build it over that rocky territory, all across the north shore of the Great Lakes, and on in Minnesota, you have some of that. You know, the Mesabi Range. Well, it's that kind of terrain. So you're driving the spikes into rock. With all due respect to the people who built the railways across the United States, they're just laying track on flat prairie from Cleveland, Ohio, to Salt Lake City. And then it got tricky in the Rockies, as it did for us. But this railway was a much harder one to build for that reason. And we didn't have capital markets in this country at that time that could sustain such a big project. So we were always trying to push the securities of this project out in the London and New York financial markets, where they were satiated by the American railway projects, who were always trying to sandbag us. And really, the Canadian Pacific Railway ran right out of money several times and was bailed out by the federal government. And then the founder of this country, whom we've discussed in previous programs of yours, John A. Macdonald, settled upon the genius move when there was a rebellion by quasi-natives, you know, the Indians, the so-called Métis. They were half-breeds mainly, but in led by a rabble-rouser named Louis Riel in Western Canada. He sent the troops out to suppress the rebellion on the railway and then proclaimed that the railway had saved Canada because these people wanted to secede from Canada. And then in a sort of freshet of patriotic enthusiasm, he got Parliament to finance finishing the railway when it was technically bankrupt, but he didn't reveal that fact. So he used one crisis to resolve another, but that's how we got it built.
The puzzle, then. We come to the puzzle. Climate change seems to dominate the conversation in your central government all the time. Climate change. And that is a puzzle because you're resource rich. God bless Canada with the oil sands, with the mines in the north, with all kinds of opportunities to mine gold. And I can't tell from reading the news at this distance, Conrad, whether that's still celebrated or there's a guilt feeling about it.
Well, and you're absolutely right. It's a treasure house. We have precious metals, base metals, all forest products, all forms of energy from hydroelectricity to coal, but certainly the second greatest oil reserves in the world after Saudi Arabia. And it's all there, and it's all reasonably accessible, and we certainly possess the technology and the capital to exploit it all. But there is a general appreciation of resources, but this federal government is conducting an economic war on the oil industry that is supported up to a point by the provinces that don't have any oil, but not by the others and not by the sensible people in the country who recognize that we're in the name of climate change, we're going much too far. I mean, Canada's carbon footprint is minuscule. As I said to that group in Vancouver last week, if Canada was belching factories from Vancouver to Halifax, side by side, all the way, it would have no impact on the world's temperature at all. None. And we don't know that much about climate change. We don't know. It's not outside the normal cycles. We don't know the extent of it. And we don't know what causes it or how to combat it. But we don't even know that it is at this point in any respect a negative thing. I mean, Canada, frankly, can stand with a little warmer temperatures. It wouldn't be bad for us. So what are we so excited about? But putting people out of work and capping an industry that is our greatest earner of export dollars, because there's an unlimited market for our oil. If we could just get it out of the ground and get it through the pipelines to both coasts and ship it, but we're hobbling around. Did you realize, John, or your listeners, that Canada, as I just said, the second greatest oil reserves in the world after Saudi Arabia, and we import oil in eastern Canada because we don't have a pipeline to get it down there?
I do remember we've talked about this. It's a fascination how impractical that is. The question here, with 30 seconds to go, Conrad, do you believe that this is now part of the conversation across Canada, that there's a disconnection between what the 21st century needs, which is invention and taking on big projects, and the small steps that the government is recommending? 30 seconds.
I think opinion is changing. It will. We're awaiting the election of a leader of the official opposition, the Conservative Party. It's really, I think, between Pierre Poilievre and Jean Charest, and they're both good men, good friends of mine. But I think we are awaiting that event, and then in the run-up to the next election, which will be 3 years to go, I think you'll get the development of these points. We've got to stop wasting our time with excessive preoccupations with gender issues and, re-examining the past with the native people and so forth, and focus on what unites the country and builds the country and gives people a little inspiration instead of always backbiting. It's not as grubby as in the United States, and certainly not as nasty, but it's not very constructive either.
Conrad Black, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.